Hello and welcome to the Buffering Podcast. I'm Adam Erdman.
I'm Dan Whalen.
And we are coming to you from the Frank Oz Memorial
Studio.
I just gotta jump in every time.
Yeah.
I can't.
You probably will have to. So I don't say something silly like Frank Oz Memorial.
The existing soul of Frank Oz.
Rock cave with
Frank
drawings.
Oz isn't in the new Muppet movie.
He's not.
Frank Oz did not do any voices in the new Muppet movie.
What? Who's going to do them?
I don't know. Some imposter, because apparently Frank Oz disagreed with the idea that a lot of the characters in this new movie have personality traits that Muppets didn't have, like kind of not just jealousy, but like greed and just this, like these horrible attitudes towards each other, hating each other. In this very vicious, like not vicious way, this very Muppet vicious way. So it's just like could not agree with it, and so he was not a part of. He's not a part of the project.
Oh wow! Okay.
You have to respect his willingness to stand up for, you know, childhood purity of not greed.
Yeah, that's really respectable. I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's not dead. We're not horrible people.
Yeah, no.
But still.
We love our Frank Oz. We do. Voice of Yoda and so many others.
Miss Piggy.
Cookie Monster. Just the list is long. Long and awesome.
Yes.
So with us tonight, we have Robbie Killens.
Hello.
And
welcome.
Yes.
Thank you.
She's new to our show.
Though mentioned previously.
She has been mentioned previously, yes.
During your bout with an sore back, I believe.
Yes, my sore back. That was an interesting episode. Mm. Yes. Did not enjoy that.
Well, we had a reasonable thing. One here. Right.
Yeah, we had a pretty
wasn't sure
decent
you were going
episode
with that
here.
At first. It's like horrible episodes. Like
this was a great. It was. I'm sure it was a great episode. Shit. My episode of the sore back was unfortunate.
Yes.
Right. Cool. All right. Well, you're feeling better now, though.
Much better. Much better. All better.
Was it good. Something that just kind of. You know what? I just realized Cross Lake. I've been to Cross Lake.
No way. Yes. I used to work in Cross Lake.
Kids at home, she's wearing a Cross Lake sweatshirt.
Yeah, I'm
Cross
sorry. Lake I'm that observant that I really pick up on things. No, but Emily and I went to a wedding that she sang at in Cross Lake.
Oh, no way.
Because these two of her friends got married at his dad's cabin on not
Whitefish.
Cross Lake specifically, but
Whitefish,
somewhere.
Trout. Oh, the whole chain's beautiful.
Yeah. It's just past town.
Okay. Yeah. Probably Trout. It's a beautiful area.
Cool.
It's nice. Mm-hmm.
I should go.
You should. With me. I'll go with you.
Okay. That sounds fun. We should do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
It is nice.
Let's, what news do we have
news.
This week?
There was a lot of semi-interesting news. There's, but an abundance of it, so it's nice.
Wow. Let's hear it.
So the first thing I found is there is a website out there that I wholeheartedly recommend everyone check out. It's canistream.it. Hmm. So you find out about a show that you've seen a couple times or a couple seasons in. You're kind of browsing around on cable. Hey, can I find this online? Can I get this off of Crackle or Netflix or Vimeo or something like that? And so you can go on to canistream.it, exactly how you'd spell it, and type it in, and it'll search all of those libraries of Amazon Prime and all of that to find out if you can indeed stream it or if not, just buy it. Hmm. So it's a nice way where if you know what you're looking for, you can actually find it without having to. It's almost like what's the website that does all the searches of all the cheap airfare?
Kayak.
Yeah, it's the Kayak of streaming movies and TV.
Oh, interesting.
So it's
that's really handy.
Yeah. So let's see. The site checks libraries at Netflix, Amazon, iTunes, and Hulu, and can provide links to the appropriate listings. Well, I guess it's not on Crackle yet, but I assume they're not too far behind that.
Yeah, I'm sure they're working on it.
Yeah, but cool website. Nice interface. Easy to use. So there's that. And more people have signed with Netflix, and this time Amazon.com as well, for movie and TV streaming contracts. This time it is the Disney Corporation and ABC.
Ooh.
So nice. kind of interesting. A couple of things that they've listed. Was that a sneeze?
That was a cough.
Okay. I just saw the full turn back. I was like, that was one really big, like, quiet sneeze. Yes. I didn't hear it.
Kids at home, did you hear it?
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. So this deal adds Switched at Birth, previous season episodes of Kick Buttowski, an Alias in its entirety, and then Lost, Brothers and Sisters, Grey's Anatomy will remain out there. So okay. It's just, gotcha. You know, major networks are signing on again, so there's going to be some familiar content rather than like the giant list of B and C movies that no one really is interested in seeing. Though, I will say, jumping off on this for a second, is there's been a lot of great stuff that's been added to Netflix recently.
Yes, there
like,
has.
Very quality titles, to the point where you remember the Romeo and Juliet that everyone had to watch in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Not the one that everyone voluntarily saw with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, but the Zeffirelli one?
Yeah. Oh.
That is available on Netflix now.
That is a good one.
Like streaming.
Streaming on Netflix. That's awesome.
The 2-hour, 18-minute movie, which, yes, Emily and I did check because we were excited. But Tron Legacy, which you had mentioned in a previous episode, up there. Robin Hood Men in Tights is up there.
Wow.
And I wish, let's see. There's Conan O'Brien's new documentary is up there, which is really good.
Hmm.
And where is it? Oh, and there's actually a lot of really recent movies like Paranormal Activity 2, since 3 just came out. That's a good back and forth. If either of you have heard of Red State, Kevin Smith's really creepy-looking movie, that's out there now.
Hmm.
Warrior's Way, that's really recent. Others, kind of recent. It's just a surprisingly interesting sounding list of new content on Netflix since there are multiple snafus.
Nice. Yeah, I was looking at recently added stuff on Netflix last night, and one of the really notable ones that I saw was Beakman's World.
Oh, that's
no
been on.
Way.
That has been on for a while.
Really?
I will admit that before you guys got here, while I was putting the microphones and everything up, is I had an episode of Beakman's World playing on my phone in my pocket, so I just had the audio.
Awesome.
Well, see, that's something that we've discussed about Netflix in past episodes. There are a lot of great things out there on there already, but it's so hard to find them.
Yeah, it's really hard to uncover them unless you know what you're looking for. And realistically, I'm pretty sure that if I was actively searching for childhood TV informational stuff, I'd start out with Bill Nye. I wouldn't even think of Beakman's World unless somebody else brought it up.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
But yes, the other thing I was going to talk about was, on previous episodes, we've mentioned Roku as an additional streaming hardware provider. Do you know what Roku is?
I've heard of it, but please enlighten me.
It's see the little black cube right there that has a white light on it?
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone, I'm describing. That's my Apple TV.
Yep.
So that's this nonsense going on the screen. So Roku is about the same size, but instead of being positioned specifically with Apple products and Netflix, YouTube, and a few other things, Roku has access to a wide variety of audio and visual websites. So they have Netflix, they have Crackle, they have Amazon Prime, they have Hulu Plus, they have YouTube, they have this slew of stuff. And at this point, they've even figured it out where you can play Angry Birds on this little box. So it's another place to find Angry Birds.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
And just to plug it for a second and a half, I saw that they actually had the Roku in the Target ad, or Target weekly thing.
Yeah, the circular.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, I know about Roku. But the story I had was they've added more games and, let's see, Pac-Man and the new Angry Birds. So they're starting to expand more and more into this mini casual game form, game platform.
Ah, okay.
So it's kind of interesting that they're mixing streaming media with that instead of, I mean, I could understand, because they had like the PSP, or actually they still have it. It didn't actually die, I don't think.
The PSP?
Did that die?
No, but it's going to be, there's going to be the new PS Vita that's coming out that's going to replace it.
Oh, okay. Well,
but it hasn't happened yet.
But I remember, you know, primarily games, but you could get movies on it. So yeah. Now this is just kind of, movies have outshined, and so now it's movies with a few games on there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the news that I had. Had found yesterday.
Okay.
So hopefully relevant by Friday.
Cool.
When this will air. Okay, now we can go back to the clock, so I know what's going on again.
Oh, come here.
Yes, but today's discussion, still kind of sticking with the Netflix thing, is obviously a lot of the best content out there you have to pay for. On Pandora, you can get that for free. On Spotify, you can get that for free, but there are these limitations where mm-hmm. you can only get so much at a time. You know, there are ads. There's also other junk going on. But to get good stuff, like, you have to buy stuff on iTunes or Amazon or wherever you buy music. And, you know, you can buy movies, TV shows. You can rent TV shows. You can rent movies. You can do all this, but, you know, there's at least a minimum price on there. So the discussion topic that I came up with is, obviously being a bunch of 20-somethings, we all live on budgets. So what would it take, what content needs to be there, what features need to be there to make it worthwhile to you to actually pay for it? So, if you bailed out on Netflix based on their, you know, price jump or the whole confusing madness with, the whole madness with Quixer and all of that, you know, and now there's Crackle where you can do basically the same thing just in a different website. You know, what would it take to keep you in Netflix? Or, okay, let me start out a different way. What do you use for streaming media? Do you listen to streaming media, watch anything?
I use Hulu every now and then, but Netflix, I don't have an account, but I use it when my friends and I are watching movies together. If one of them has an account, we'll look up the movies. So that's really my experience with that. And then Pandora. I use Pandora a lot. But I'm usually maxed out and I haven't paid for the extra.
Okay.
So yeah. That's, I mean.
So you're a perfect candidate for this. What would it take to get you into a brand new Netflix today?
Oh, honestly, I feel like every time I go on the Netflix with my friends, it takes, we look around at all the movies there. We've either never heard of them or we don't have enough direction to just type in something and see if it's there. And I feel like every single time we do that, it ends up, we find something that looks semi-interesting and give it a try.
Okay.
Which does provide for some unique experiences with the movie watching, but at the same time, sometimes we're sitting there and we're like, we just really wanted to watch something that we were actually interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess,
in that way, it's almost like they have to step up their game. It needs to be
right
more user-friendly of an interface.
More user-friendly, absolutely. It's a little overwhelming when you look at it with so much on the screen all at once, and you just get lost in all the titles.
Have you ever seen Amazon Prime?
No.
That is like three Netflix screens crammed into one. It's like Amazon.com, the shopping site.
Oh, my.
But they try to, you know, tell you about stuff that you can rent.
Right.
Oof.
That sounds overwhelming.
It's not very user friendly.
Yeah.
I was confused by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. From what I've seen, I mean, a lot of the, well, pretty much every streaming movie or music provider out there, it seems like, is doing some sort of like the main incentive for them to, for you to subscribe to their service is to is that they will get rid of the ads.
Yes.
And
right.
I think that that's not enough.
Absolutely not.
I mean, if you really want to watch a show on Hulu or whatever, you're gonna just the ads aren't that big of a hindrance,
right?
To make you want to pay for the service. But I actually thought of something that would be kind of cool for Netflix to do while I was on my way here. So basically, how it works is, and if I find out several months from now that Netflix is using this, I'm gonna do them.
You're gonna have to go to the patent office and see what's up.
Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking. Netflix could make a deal with each of the production studios, wherein they would, if a customer of Netflix watches a certain number of episodes or movies from that company, then that company would offer them a free download of some specific movie. So
frequent watchers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, basically. So
like earning
so
points
you,
or something.
Yeah, you would earn points toward downloading a movie for free. And it wouldn't even have to be like the blockbusters. It could be something that people kind of go, huh, oh, that's cool. I could actually get that movie for free just by watching the shows that I already want to watch. That kind of thing.
I think the only thing that you'd have to watch out for is jurisdiction of, you know, overclocking your computer to the point where somebody's just like, play. I'm going to go to work.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
8 hours later, it's like, oh, hey, I've just earned, you know, two more.
Yeah, using a macro.
That's true.
Like that. I mean, there would be things like that they would have to work out. Like,
limit of.
For some people, they would just like start an episode of something and then click to the credits or something like that.
Right.
So they'd have to figure out some way to make that
some
work.
Security within the system.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I mean that's something that, you know, wouldn't be a cakewalk to figure out, but
no. Mm-hmm. It, no it would logistics be a, of that.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
But you know, I'm trying to think outside the box.
I like the idea, definitely.
I feel
or even
like
for
that
like certain
could be,
time periods that you've been a member or something like that.
Yeah.
Realistically,
yeah,
with
like
the amount
of
crap that I've bought,
membership and stuff like that, that would be cool.
With the amount of crap that I've bought on Apple on the iTunes store, I feel like there should be kind of, you know,
like a rewards program.
I would take a free song and be happy.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
I've gone through now with the new system and everything. I can go in and find out exactly how much crap I've purchased from them, which I found out about the TV shows. Is what surprises me. I have purchased in total 954 individual TV shows.
Wow.
Based on all the seasons of things that I've purchased, right. It's total up to 954 episodes.
Wow.
Or even if I go to music, I don't know if I... It only gives me recent purchases. It only go up to the 250 most recent songs I've purchased on there. 954, though. I feel like at that point I'm entitled to something.
Yeah, something.
Where's my
TV
rewards
time.
Card? I get a free sub for that.
Like a little credit, or even like.
And that's not counting the apps.
Like an iTunes gift card or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be.
Yeah,
nice.
It's you know store credit.
Yeah, store credit, so you can buy more stuff. Yeah.
I think that that would be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we all agree.
All right.
Okay.
Apple, give us jobs. Netflix, give us jobs.
Please. Well, no, not jobs. I don't want to work for them. then you can't buy stock from them because it's insider trading.
True.
So once they actually go back up from our great ideas, then we profit for it by buying the stock so low because it's really kind of unfortunately low right now.
Yeah.
But you said that you use Pandora right now. Do you are you familiar with Spotify?
I've heard of it. I've never used it. I've been... Do you share music on there?
No. It's not like LimeWire or Napster or anything like that. It's essentially this company has limited rights to this giant library of music.
Okay.
And you have access to this library. You know, there's a free level, there's like a $5 level, and there's a $10 level.
Okay.
And so it's either you have access to this library for a certain number of hours per week or day or okay. somehow, some way. Mm-hmm. And there's the occasional ad.
Okay.
For $5, no ads. I believe it turns into unlimited access to it on your computer. So okay. 24 hours a day, go nuts. At $10, then you have the mobile access.
Oh, all right.
So, I mean, for the ability to essentially hear a song on the radio,
mm-hmm.
go home, and, you know, double-click on this song that is out there, hit repeat, and just have it loop to that song over and over and over again mm-hmm. until you get out of your system. I mean, would you ever almost kind of buy your own mini radio station where you don't technically own it, but you have access to it?
I would actually probably consider that more than a Netflix deal, just because I listen to more music than I would watch movies.
Okay.
So that would be a more attractive option. However, I guess I'm just so used to using Pandora and just limiting myself mm-hmm. in that. And, you know, through Pandora, you get to... I mean, is it set up similarly as Pandora? Like, when you type in somebody, similar artists come up, or...?
At this point, there is a website that does that.
Okay.
In a partnership with Spotify, but okay. they haven't released a mobile version of that. Gotcha. So, it is really, like, build your own playlist.
Okay.
But it's also a social networking aspect to it, where your friends can join, they can make playlists, you can get access to their playlists.
And you can share playlists. Okay, that's
of
what
existing
I was
music, yeah.
That's right. Okay. I have been invited to do that, but I have not yet.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Interesting.
Because okay. that's a big thing on Facebook at this point, where for this explosion of a few weeks, it's mm-hmm. everyone was on Spotify because there was a like free membership combo weird
right.
thing. So yeah. every now and then you're just like, this person's listening to this song. It's like, well,
absolutely.
That's nice, but it's one song. I don't really need to hear that much.
Absolutely.
Okay. But just free ads for Spotify. But yeah, that's... So you'd be more into that than to actually investing in a Netflix account instead.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, at this point, are you going to now go home and, you know, make the account now being more familiar with it? Or is it just going to be like, well, you still have Pandora anyway?
I would consider looking into Spotify, just because the more I hear about it, I mean, I hear lots of people talking about it, and especially through Facebook and things like that,
right.
you know, you see it all over the place. It might be interesting to see the differences and kind of experience it for myself, but I don't know. I guess the thing about Pandora that I really like is that I can type in something that I'm interested in, and I learn about a lot of other music that I wouldn't have necessarily thought to type in,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, different artists that I haven't heard of or, you know, been as familiar with. So I guess that's why I like Pandora, but at the same time, I think that would just kind of serve a different purpose.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where you get a song stuck in your head, you know you don't own
right.
it, you just have to go find it.
Yep.
And then you
put
listen
it on repeat
to it
for a day.
for a day, and then you realize, you know, it turns into that make or break. Yeah, I'm just going to buy it.
Absolutely.
Or I've had my fun with this song.
Right, absolutely. I feel like I do that a lot with iTunes, where I will hear a song on the radio and I think instantly, oh, I need to buy that. And then I buy it, and then I listen to it for a couple of days, and I never listen to it again.
This song again.
Oh, yeah. Why is this in my library? Yeah. This is
deleted.
Not relaxing anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone had that nice sigh. good times, guys. Good times.
Oh, iTunes.
The common experience.
And those silly songs that I listen to on iTunes. Oh, those songs.
Yeah, I can think of a couple specific songs that I probably should not have purchased.
Mm. Adam, I mean, I know that you do the Netflix.
I do the Netflix.
You do the Netflix. I mean, do you also have the PlayStation account, right? So you have eggs in other baskets.
Yeah.
But I mean, do you subscribe financially to anything musical?
No.
No, but that's a good answer for this conversation, because it's really you know, what's missing? Why, you know, why does it not have value in your eyes? As if you were talking to the CEO of Pandora, Spotify, Tim Cook of iTunes, yeah. and Apple, and all that.
Yeah. Well, in my experience, when I hear a song on the radio that I absolutely love, I will find ways to listen to the rest of the album online for free. Not downloading anything, mind you. And if I like the rest of the album well enough, I will go out and actually buy a physical copy of the album.
So you still...
Nice.
Who still sells CDs to the point where if you... I know that you have tastes outside of that of Cities 97 and radio stations. So where do you go buy CDs?
Best Buy has a
does well?
Hmm. Yeah, as far as I know.
Because I was thinking, because, you know, where the hell is Sam Goody anymore?
Yeah.
God, there was the other one, Sam Goody. Suncoast was movies. There was that other one. It wasn't Sam Goody. It was the other one, that, and they had one at Ridgedale, and it was... Was that a Sam Goody?
There was a Sam Goody at Ridgedale. I'm pretty sure.
I'm thinking of something.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I still... You know, I... And there will also be times when I'll download an album... And then, based on that download, I'll go out and legitimize my download by purchasing the physical
right.
copy.
Right.
And so it's I really like the idea of the try before you buy kind of mm-hmm. thing, because in my music collection, I do try to avoid the songs where, you know, you do listen to it for a day straight and then you're sick of it.
Right.
I want to find the stuff that's got some staying power.
Absolutely.
For sure. And so for me, like, I'm still, as you can tell by the fact that I still buy physical copies of CDs, I do like to have the songs in my possession that I like. And
as opposed to, like, an iTunes account, or...?
Well, no, iTunes, I mean, you can still download...
Yeah, now, like, what I was talking about before when I was referencing how many TV shows and all mm-hmm. that, it's they've made it available where whatever music or TV shows that you've ever purchased on iTunes, ever, mm-hmm. you have access to them. You can download them over and over and over again now.
Right. But as like, buying the physical CD, does that has value to it, as opposed to having it on an iTunes account?
It has value up to the point where I rip it into my iTunes music collection.
But at the same time, I was thinking that, you know, I've been binging horribly on comedy albums on iTunes because it's just, okay, I've heard one track of this guy, I've heard one track of this guy, I just need to... There's no real way to get access to comedy online in a streaming format except for iHeartRadio, which I was going to talk about that in a second anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you just have to go out. You have to buy an album. You have to find out, you know, what else does this comedian do? What do they talk about?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I think with my phone going off, I just got thrown off from my conversation.
I had a little bit more to add.
Well, feel free while I try to remember what I was talking about.
For me, I'm very proud of the iTunes music collection that I have amassed. But I learned a few years ago that collection is not... forever. When I transferred my music collection over to my external hard drive, many of, like, a really big portion of my music collection got scrambled, basically. And I'm still not entirely sure what happened, and I'm still trying to sort all of that out, but it is still nice. Like, I said that I don't really value the physical copies after I've ripped them into my iTunes library, but it's still...
There's that backup.
Yeah, there's Absolutely. That backup where I actually have it, and it's in a stable format where if the worst should happen, then I still have my copy of Block Party's Silent Alarm to Absolutely. Fall back on a rainy day.
Right. And I remember the point that I was going to make, which yes. was I've been binging on comedy albums. Mm-hmm. And I brought that up because on Saturday, Doug Benson is going to be at Acme again. And it's one of those things where you remember when you're growing up, if you went to see something that, you know, see a performer, like you got something signed. And a CD is a really convenient thing to get signed. But I realize I've never actually purchased a physical album of his, so it's not like I can take that and do that. So there's that drawback in a way to just getting digital, whereas, you know, you have the physical everything.
Yeah, true. And as far as, no, kind of tying it back to our discussion topic, because I like the physically having the music or at least having it digital copies in my library, that's something that Pandora and Spotify can't really offer to me because it's all out there streaming that you can access if you have that internet connection or that phone 3G connection.
So hypothetically, as I'm rolling out this idea in my head, would you, if given the opportunity, I know that at this point iTunes does do the, you can start buying stuff or you can start downloading stuff again as long as you keep using the consistent account, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, iTunes starts up this service where you can download an album and it is saved on your account that if anything were to happen in your eyes, you could go back to this account, click this button, and they mail you a CD.
Whoa.
You pay postage plus $1.50, maybe. So it's going from $9.99 to whatever $1.50 on top of that is. More.
I probably wouldn't go for that because the albums that I want physical copies of, I probably already have. Hmm. So,
well, I mean, I'm talking about the future because obviously they don't have the service. So once they release it because they realize it's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it limits your need to, you know, pop into Best Buy. It's another online vendor at this point.
Sure.
So, I mean, do you frequent Best Buy to the point where this would stop your traffic in there completely if this sort of offer were to happen and you took it?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been known to buy DVDs over the internet before.
Hmm.
So that's... Yeah, I mean that would be kind of cool, but at the same time, if it's a matter of oh crap, I lost the digital copies, please send me the physical copy. I would be totally fine with them just resending me the
digital.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I know that in previous episodes we were talking about your love of physical copies to the point where I know that I mentioned newsprint. Dave mentioned. Ebooks.
Yeah.
It's just always having that physical copy because there's something behind that. Kind of like,
absolutely.
I have a collection of audio cassettes that I stole from my basement at home because it's music that I remember listening to in the car growing up.
Yeah.
Like Ashford and Simpson, Solid as a Rock. So like really... 80s
obscure.
Slipped into the 90s kind of music. It's like, I totally remember that song riding in the 1992 Toyota Previa, you know, and my mom singing along that song. So it's like, I still have the tape, gotta have it. Or Starships, We Built This City. I have the cassette because that was the first thing that I listened to in the Cabrio I had because it only had a tape deck. So it's like, I had to listen to something with the top down. What's it going to be? We Built This City.
Mm-hmm.
Elton John in the GMC.
Benny! Benny and the Jets! Very nice, nice.
Yep. Man, that was an awesome van. Really was. But anyway, yeah. What?
I just did that.
What did you, yeah. What did?
That
what
was did impressive.
I can't believe I just said that. I got confused by double fisting.
you have.
I talked into my beer. I will admit that now. It happened.
Kids at home, he talked into his beer.
That was That was great.
Because I muted my line so that you wouldn't get the loud pop, and I put the microphone down, I popped open the beer, and then there was a reaction, and the gut reaction was to move the closest thing that's in my hand to my mouth and just start talking. And it really happened.
That was good.
But I was going to say, if anyone has anything else they want to contribute to the conversation, that'd be a good time to do so, because we should probably move on to the Leonard Maltin game.
Okay. I've pretty much spoken my piece on this topic, at least for now.
For now. Because I think this is something that can definitely be revisited as more and more companies either release more or restrict things to the point where if we got certain things back, then we'd rejoin.
Absolutely. Incentives versus restrictions and such and so on and so forth.
Right.
But yes, the Leonard Maltin game, and we've already had a discussion about how we have to play, so everyone else just kind of figure out as we go. Much like our episode number 6, it's a two-person match because it's Robbie and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So this time it's going to be playing to 5 instead of 3. The loser of each point is the person who gets to pick the next category.
Okay.
And that's all she wrote, I guess. Yes. So I had a lot of fun at lunch today riding on the high of us being available on iTunes. Mm. By the way, you can find us on iTunes.
iTunes!
Which is really cool because I just had this really weird moment of deja vu of saying exactly what I just said. So I'm glad that my deja vu premonition worked out.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
That was really nice.
But yes, you can find us on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes podcast or just kind of iTunes search. You can search for Buffering. You can search for Dan Whalen. You can search for Adam Erdman. You can search for the names of any of our guests that we've had on so far.
That's me.
And it will find you. So you will have something tagged to you on iTunes.
That is so exciting.
That you can show off to people.
Yeah.
So
I'm on iTunes. What's up?
Subscribe to that. The one thing we will be doing is we're going to keep bonus tracks. So any mic checks, any bonus Leonard Maltin games, anything like that, pre-conversations, whatever, that'll always still be available on the website, bufferingpodcast.com. But we're on iTunes.
Yeah.
It only took us just about 8 episodes. Yeah. But
hey, that's good.
It's good pacing. Especially, we've also updated the site for people who have not really seen the site. More visual, which, before we can start the game, we need to... Oh, shit. Sorry for everyone who just realized what I just realized, since I don't actually play the game. Because I'm a horrible person.
Eh?
I just lost the game.
Oh.
I
want to know who figured that out before
lost the game, too.
Could you pull that cord, the wooden handle cord? Either of you? Thank you.
Yeah. Kids at home, there's a ceiling fan.
And a lamp, because the one thing that we need to improve upon is being more visual on the site. So we have to go like this, and go like right about there, and here, and it's focusing for some reason. And I like that.
I wouldn't have worn a sweatshirt had I known.
No, it's what we do is we always take a picture, and it's a geotagged picture. So it actually, here, check it out.
Nice.
It actually says Frank Oz Memorial Studio, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It makes
a mini postcard of whatever we're doing.
Oh, nice.
And so this shows up on the website, and it's going. We have a more graphic website, which you saw right before we started.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's more pictures of here's who's appearing on each episode.
Gotcha.
So you get a feel for being in the studio, knowing that. Sure, it's just my apartment, but we all hunker around an IKEA TV stand made into a table.
Absolutely.
It's totally awesome.
And play
games. Yeah.
But yes. Okay, so we do this. And sorry, I have to upload it quickly because people on Facebook care. Oh my god, they've added a lot of shit to this. I will do this later. It was asking me to, hop on Foursquare and tag it there and all this other stuff. So
right.
Leonard Maltin game. So, Robbie, you are new here, so you get to pick the first category. And
all right.
I am proud of the 6 categories I've come up with specifically for this game for stuff that's occurring this week, if not this month.
Oh, my. Okay.
So, your 3 choices for categories to choose from
are,
as I've mentioned before, it's Matthew McConaughey's birthday this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matthew McConaughey films.
Okay.
I'm also going to do Dia de los Muertos, which is tomorrow, November 2nd. So these are movies that have either day or dead in the title.
Okay.
Or a popular category, zero names. And with this one, the review is read entirely, word for word. Okay. But you still get the list of names in terms of how many names there are. So that it turns into who can guess the most names. And what happened to the remote for this TV?
Is it on the chair behind you?
No, it's the long silvery one that's...
Long silvery remote.
It's behind me.
Yeah, if you could hit any... we'll do it. Just so we...
Oh, that is sleek.
Yeah, Apple design.
Look at that.
There we go. I just wanted to do that so we still have a screensaver in 2 minutes. Mm. So the review is read completely. You get the list of names. It's really, it gives it away completely. You just turns into who can name the most from the top down.
Okay.
So most, you know, active person to least. So would you like Matthew McConaughey, Dia de los Muertos, or zero names?
Let's go for Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
Okay, get our chick flick movies here.
Oh, dear.
Your 3 years that you get to choose from are 1994, ooh, 1997, or 2001.
I don't even think I knew he was making movies back in 1994.
It actually goes back further than that.
Really?
It does.
Wow. Let's try the middle one, 1997.
1997.
Yes, let's try that one.
Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars out of 4.
Okay.
Goes from bomb to four.
Okay.
1997. It is a passionate and intelligent film. It manages to inspire a feeling of awe and wonder. But it makes up for its overlength and false endings. False the lead endings. Character is simply sensational. And that's all you get. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 names. Matthew McConaughey is one of them.
Okay.
So how many names do you need to hear to guess this movie?
How many names again?
11.
And you start at the bottom.
Start at the bottom going up. So right now, if you said 11, you get the full list. But then it goes to Adam for his bidding.
I'm going to go with... Ooh. I'm going to go with 9.
9 names.
Yeah.
8 names.
Ugh. 8 names. Can you push it or do you want to get him to name it?
So you can bid or you can say name that movie.
And then I'm going to say name that movie.
Oh.
All right, 8 names. Do you want to hear the review again or are you good?
Let's hear the review one more time. Yeah.
97. Matthew McConaughey is in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Maltin gave it 3 stars out of 4.
Okay.
It's passionate and intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
The film manages to inspire a feeling of awe and wonder, which makes up for its overlength and false endings. The lead actor is simply sensational, and you get 8 names. And your 8 names are Jake Busey, Rob Lowe, Jeffrey Blake, Angela Bassett, David Morse, William Fichtner, Tom Skerritt, John Hurt, and that's 8 names.
Boo.
You can also do the Matthew McConaughey is still in there somewhere.
Yeah.
That is not overly descriptive.
Yeah, no, 97.
1997.
Feeling of awe.
Yeah, that doesn't help me at all. So I'm going to have to just say the first movie that comes to mind that came out approximately in that period, and it's Independence Day.
No, unfortunately, it's not Independence Day.
It's definitely not Independence Day, I know.
Good movie, though.
Yeah.
What if I were to add James Woods?
Still nothing.
Do you have a guess?
No.
There's Matthew McConaughey, and the lead is Jodie Foster.
Matthew McConaughey and Jodie Foster?
Awe and Wonder. It's also wonder. Written by Carl Sagan.
Contact?
It's Contact.
Oh my gosh.
How did you know that?
Because I was thinking about Carl Sagan and Jodie Foster.
Mm. And a horrible ending to the movie, and mm-hmm. it's too long.
And awe and wonder.
Because it's about...
Wow, aliens.
Contact.
Gotcha.
Talking to aliens.
I never saw that movie.
But you still got the point.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that also means that, Adam, you get to pick the next category.
That's right.
It is also Famke Janssen's birthday this week.
Okay.
So there's that. Mm. November 1st is known as Irish Winter.
Yes.
So movies that snow is a big part of the scenery.
Okay.
Nice.
Or it is also Pancreatic Awareness Month.
No way.
So these are movies where one of the main characters has cancer.
Oh.
It doesn't say about a pancreas.
Okay.
No. I didn't do that much research.
Movies that...
included actors that still had their pancreas.
Let's go for... the second one.
Snow.
Irish
Snow plays
winter.
A large set piece in this.
Yes.
Wonderful.
You know what? I'm going to change it, technically. Mm-hmm. It's movies that have very famous snow settings or scenes.
Okay.
Okay.
So famous. These are known.
Okay.
All right.
To help you out a bit.
Sure.
So your 3 years are 1980, 1996, mm-hmm. or 2004?
2004.
Okay. Leonard Maltin gave this 2004 movie 3 stars. The characters are likable, the dialogue isn't dumb, and the effects are spectacular. In other words, a pretty good old-fashioned type of movie. Yeah.
Okay.
2004.
So, characters are likable, dialogue isn't dumb, the effects are spectacular. It's a pretty good old-fashioned type of movie. So it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 names.
Okay. Let's go for 9 names.
9 names. Can you do 8 names?
I'm going to go for 8 names.
8 names.
Yes.
Can you do 7 names?
Name that movie.
Oh, okay.
8 names. Your 8 names.
Yes.
Are Perry King, Austin Nichols, J.O. Sanders, Kenneth Welsh, Dash Mihok, Stella Ward, Emmy Rossum, and Ian Holm.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, the next one is the giveaway.
Really?
But you're just one off.
That's unfortunate.
Characters are likable. The dialogue isn't dumb. The effects are spectacular. 2004 snow.
2004 snow. Where was I in 2004? I was in high school. Oh, man. I...
3 out of 4 stars.
3 out of 4 stars. It was apparently a very good movie. Oh. Snow? I'm drawing a blank.
Any guess. Anything that has snow
in it. Anything that has snow in it. In that time. I cannot remember when... The only movie that comes to mind right now is like Love Actually, but I know that was after 2004.
Yes, that was. What if I said Jake Gyllenhaal?
Mm-mm.
Wait. Yeah, that's still not ringing any bells for me.
Dennis Quaid? Not as much of a giveaway. What if it's a disaster movie?
With Dennis Quaid?
2004, disaster movie.
Disaster movie with Dennis Quaid.
Effects are spectacular.
A disaster movie.
It was the day after tomorrow.
Oh.
You know, absolutely. Everything is covered completely right. in snow.
Everything is destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, that one. My goodness.
I think I saw half of that, and then that was all.
Yeah, I think I watched it down at Luther with somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere sometime.
I was trying to think of all the movies I had watched at Luther.
Yeah.
But
Adam, you got the point on that one.
I got the point.
It's your turn right. to choose again.
Okay.
So this time I'm going to do AFI's 100 most quoted movies. So any of the movies on this list are on that list.
Okay.
Zero Names, again, bring mm-hmm. that one up. And Dia de los Muertos.
Let's do AFI's.
100 most quoted movies.
Yes.
Your three choices are 1992, 1997, or 1999.
Let's do 1992.
1992. Mm-hmm. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars.
Okay.
It's thoroughly entertaining. It's a good-natured fiction that sheds light on a neglected chapter of real-life history. It is later briefly a TV series. And it has a first-rate cast. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 names. And it has a very memorable quote to the point where it's on American Film Institute's top 100 quote movie quotes list.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to go with 1982. I'm going to go with 12 names.
12 names.
Yeah. I might need some more.
11 names.
11 names.
10 names.
10 names.
Yeah.
9 names.
9 names.
Name that, what is it? Movie. Name
why did
that
I,
movie.
Why did I keep beating?
This will be interesting.
Good luck, Adam Erdman.
9 names? Yes?
Yeah.
Yes. Your 9 names mm-hmm. are Bill Pullman, Tia Leone, Janet Jones, Tracy Reiner, Anne Cusack, Renee Coleman, Rosie O'Donnell, Megan Kavanaugh, and Gary Marshall.
That's not doing a whole lot for me. Wow. Okay.
Thoroughly entertaining. First-rate cast. Good-natured film. Fiction that sheds light on a neglected chapter of real-life history. And later, a TV series.
Okay. This is probably wrong. But it's a movie that came out in approximately that time period. That fits most of that description, but I didn't recognize any of the actors' names. Well, I recognize them, but I don't recall if they're in this movie. I'm going to say Forrest Gump.
No.
Oh, that was a good
2 years later.
Though.
Really?
Yes.
94?
Oh, 94. Really?
That late?
Huh. Because that was actually 1 or 2 games ago. Because Katie got it, remember?
Oh.
It was actually her first appearance with Matt Walson. Matt didn't get Forrest Gump.
Okay. Mm. Huh. So,
and you know what makes it really interesting? Tom Hanks is in this movie as well.
In this
with
movie?
With Rosie O'Donnell.
That would have really thrown me off then. What
really?
Is it? What is it?
I was going to say...
What's the movie?
What were you going to say? Just.
Well, I have no sense of time, I don't think. I can't remember when movies... I'm trying to think of movies that I watched as a child... And I remember watching Now and Then, and we used to quote it a lot, but it might not be that.
That would actually be a good second guess. What if I added Madonna? And Rosie O'Donnell. I'm not going in order anymore. I'm just jumping to really familiar names.
And Tom Hanks?
Boy.
All in the same
people film. Are screaming this. I can feel it. Okay, I'll throw in Gina Davis.
Why can't I remember this one? Is it?
Yeah, and he looks really young.
Lean in.
Oh, and he looks really young.
Thank you.
Is it Big?
No.
No.
There's no crying in baseball?
That's... Yes! I love that
oh
movie.
Oh my gosh.
League of Their Own.
Oh, a League of Their Own. Their right. Own.
There's no crying in baseball.
A League of Their Own.
The
I
quote.
Could not. Oh. Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's, yeah. Used to watch that one.
That's
yeah.
a good mm-hmm. one.
92. So Robbie, now you have 2 points to Adam's point.
Two.
And hard. So that means, Adam, it is your turn to choose a category.
My turn. Okay.
I will give you Dia de los Muertos, Zero Names, mm-hmm. or Happy Birthday, Famke Janssen. I have no idea if I'm pronouncing your name. So
it sounds close enough to me.
Good enough, yeah.
Zero Names.
All right. Zero Names to you would be 1985, 1995, or 2009.
Let's go
1995. 1995.
Okay.
This will be fun.
I think Leonard I know what it is already.
Really?
We'll see.
Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars. A boy's favorite toy, a cowboy doll
yep.
named... Yeah. a cowboy doll named Woody feels threatened, and rightly so, by the arrival of a new birthday present, a high-tech spaceman model advertised on TV. Clever, incredible-looking animated film produced entirely on computer, a grown-up story masquerading as a kid's film. This story of friendship, fickleness, and the need for acceptance features a colorful cast of characters led by Woody and his rival Buzz Lightyear. The acting of these two leads, their facial expressions and body language, is as good as anything ever seen in a conventional animated cartoon. Presented by Disney, but produced by the innovative Pixar studio.
Yes.
Director Lasseter received a special Oscar for this animation milestone, followed by a sequel. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 names, and your minimum bid is 0 names.
-2 names.
-2 names. So that means either you have to do -3 names, which means you have to go from the top down, 1, 2, 3, in order, or you have to, you know, tell him to name it.
Ooh, so I would have to name, okay.
3 in a row.
Adam looks very confident over there. Do I know? Name it.
It's Toy Story.
It's Toy Story.
Yeah. And top of the bill, and I took a little bit of a chance on this, but Tom Hanks.
It is Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Followed by Tim Allen.
It is.
Yeah.
That's it. Tim
Third
Allen.
Was Don Rickles. So
I wouldn't have got that one.
The horrible, cruel Shit. Joke of an option there. But yeah, -2.
Yeah.
There you go.
There
that
it
was
is.
Good.
So now it's Thank also you. 2-2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, are we playing best of 5 or first to 5?
First to 5.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
Because I think it just happened last time where it was really just back and forth the entire time.
Yeah.
So it did turn into best of 5 anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's really just first to 5 or, I guess, first person 2 points past the other person. Isn't that volleyball rules?
Sure.
Don't you have to beat them by 2 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to play volleyball rules. As long as you beat them by 2, fine.
There you go. Okay.
Good or stuff. 5, whichever we get to first.
Okay.
So, Robbie, you get to pick again.
Okay.
And I still have 3 Matthew McConaughey films left, so we'll bring that one back. Dia de los Muertos. Or we'll also include the movies of Frank Oz.
Oh. Let's do the movies of Frank Oz.
Movies of Frank Oz.
Yes.
Ooh.
Your 3 choices are... 1990... Oh, sorry, I have to go the other way around. 1985, 1992, or 1998?
Let's go 1998.
1998. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 2.5 stars. The silly plot in quotation marks, goes on too long, but high spirits prevail. Calls it infectious. And there are a lot of cameos in this movie. And that's all you get. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 names. Frank Oz was in it.
I'm going to go with 9 names.
All right.
Name that movie.
Oh, okay.
We will test your movie knowledge at this point.
Okay.
Because you're getting all but one. Your nine names are Erica Badu, Daryl Hammond, Steve Lawrence, Frank Oz, J. Evan Bonifant, Kathleen Freeman, Nia Peoples, Joe Morton, and John Goodman. So you're missing one name.
John Goodman. What was John Goodman in? In 1998.
1998. With Frank Oz.
With Frank Oz.
Though I will give the hint that they did not appear in a scene together.
Oh.
Based on their variations on the list.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, it's a silly plot that goes on too long, but high spirits prevail. It's infectious. Lots of cameos. And John Goodman, Frank Oz, Erica Badu, Daryl Hammond.
I don't know if I could... I can picture John Goodman in a lot of different films that I've seen. I don't know if I could accurately...
This is while he was still large and in charge.
Okay.
Rather than... Have you seen him slim down?
No, I don't think so.
He's lost a lot of weight.
Really? Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look that up.
Like that, and like Drew Carey's lost a lot of... Like all these people
I didn't even
are just
recognize
like,
Drew Carey.
They're nothing now.
Right. Yeah, they look like completely different people.
Yeah.
John Goodman. I don't know that I could even accurately name a movie. I know that I've seen so many films that he's been in. Oh, it's 1998.
I can tell you it's not Coyote Ugly.
It's not Coyote Ugly.
I know he was in that.
Yeah. That was probably about that around that same time.
That one I think was a little later.
Was it?
I think so.
I was in elementary school when that came out.
Coyote Ugly. That was high schoolish, right?
That was elementary for me.
Approximately, I think.
Just wondering that it's. We were talking about the one movie I could identify that it wasn't. I brought up his Coyote Ugly since I'd mentioned John Goodman in the list, but obviously there weren't enough chicks on that list to make up Coyote Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But any guess?
John Goodman movie. I don't even know that. Honestly, Coyote Ugly would have been my guess because that's the movie I remember. I have no idea.
What if I added Dan Aykroyd?
Oh, it's the... Is it... What is it? I can't...
What if I said all the cameos were musicians?
Oh. Yeah.
What if I told you that the name does not make sense based on the fact it was made in 1998?
Yeah. I got it.
Well, just say it then.
Say it.
We can. Okay.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was made in 1998?
1998, even though it was Blues Brothers 2000.
I didn't know that.
Close enough.
Interesting.
Always confused the hell out of me. And Frank Oz was the warden in that one. Have you guys seen Blues Brothers, the original one?
Yeah.
Frank Oz is the guy who gives him back his suit and all the nasty stuff he was carrying at the time. That's Frank Oz.
Wow.
And then he worked his way up in the ranks to the point where Dan Aykroyd's character gets out of jail. He's the warden.
Okay.
So go
That's
figure
funny.
For Frank Oz.
Hmm.
So Adam, you got that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, Robbie, it's to you again. It's 3-2.
Oh, my goodness.
To you.
Okay, I'm falling behind.
I will give you zero names. Dia de los Muertos. Or... We'll go back to AFI's 100 Most Quoted Movies.
Let's go with the Most Quoted Movies.
Most Quoted Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Favoring that category tonight, aren't we?
I like that one.
Hmm.
Your choices are 1989, 1997 or 1999?
Let's go with 1989. A Blast from the Past.
Mm-hmm. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3.5 stars out of 4.
Okay.
Calls it delightful, full of great dialogue and knowing remarks. One of the actors brought through their own personality and made it a very distinctive character out of it.
Okay.
It was later adapted for the stage. And Leonard Maltin says that an extra has the movie's single funniest line.
An extra.
An extra. And yes. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8 names.
7.
First half of the review. Or just all of the review, I guess. Because
famous
I
quote.
Zoned out for a moment.
Yep. Famous quote.
1989, yep.
3.5 stars.
3.5 stars.
Delightful. Full of great dialogue and knowing remarks.
Okay.
One of the actors brings through their own personality into the movie and makes it a very distinctive character. And an extra had the movie's single funniest line and is later adapted for the stage.
Okay.
Hmm.
And Robbie's bid was
9.
9 names. I'll go 8.
8 names.
Name that movie.
Okay.
Wait a second. I think I might have lied. 2, 4, 6. No, there were 8 names. So you said 7.
I said 7.
So I'm sorry. So it would be 6 to you. I lied. If you want to do 6, I apologize for possibly screwing one of you over somehow.
Ah.
So it was 7 out of 8, not 8 out of...
Yeah. Because I believe in fair play, I'm going to say 6 names, and then she's going to say name that movie.
Perfect.
So we're back where we were.
So we're back where we were.
Very nice. Yeah. Well played.
You still have an essential same percentage of names, but not bulk.
More or less. Yeah.
So your names are Harley Kozak, Michelle Nicastro, Lisa Jane Persky, Stephen Ford, Bruno Kirby, and Carrie Fisher. Curveball at the end, right?
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher all of a sudden pops up.
Carrie Fisher, what are you Princess doing Leia. In this movie?
Princess Leia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For everyone at home, by the way.
Kids at home.
Joke.
Yes. All I can think about is
1989.
Her Slave Leia outfit.
All I can think about.
Because obviously that's what she was wearing when apparently she must have said one of AFI's 100 most good movies where there's no one else in that film.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you are missing the 2.
Yeah. Okay. Just because I love repetition. Review one more time.
All right. 1989.
Mm-hmm.
AFI's 100 most quoted movies.
Okay.
3.5 stars. It's delightful, full of great dialogue and knowing remarks. One of the actors brings through their own personality and makes a very distinctive character. An extra has the movie's single funniest line and is later adapted for the stage.
Oh, I got nothing. I feel like I should get this one, but I can't. I can't quite pull it out. So, I really want to watch The Three Amigos sometime soon. So that's my guess.
For fun, I'll just do the line instead of the last two.
Yes, do that.
I'll have what she's having.
Oh my gosh.
1989.
What would that be? Kids at home, do you know?
I think they do.
Call in.
How about Meg Ryan?
Meg Ryan and what's his name?
He hosted the Oscars a lot. Back in the day.
What's the name of that movie? What is the name of that movie?
He's also in Princess Bride as the wizard magician guy, Magic Max. His name's Billy Crystal.
When Harry Met Sally.
That's the one.
Harry Met Sally.
That's the one.
Okay. I haven't seen that one, so
that's a good one.
And the funniest line is said by an extra, which is actually Rob Reiner's mom. So the director's mom said the line, I'll have what she's having.
I had no idea that was put on stage.
I didn't either until I...
That threw me off.
Read that line, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, interesting. All I can picture is Meg Ryan's hair in that movie. It was very impressive.
Or the fact that Billy Crystal still had hair.
And that too. That too.
But you got that point. So Adam, it's your turn to choose. It's 3-3.
Yes, it is.
Bring in some new categories to see what we can do.
Tied up.
This is a brawl.
So your three choices are Danny DeVito films.
Okay.
Wrestling is fake, so there's a wrestler in this list.
Mm-hmm.
Or I Love It's this movie. So movie starring John Lovitz.
I Love It's this movie.
I Love It's this movie. Your three choices are 1994... 1996 or 2001?
2001.
Leonard Maltin gave this movie 2.5 stars. Not every comic detour pays off, but there are a lot of laugh out loud gags and inspired moments. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 names.
Okay. Let's go 13 names.
13 names.
12 names.
12 names.
Name that movie.
Dang it.
12 names. Your 12 names are Dean Cain, Kathy Bates, Dave Thomas, Wayne Knight, Paul Rodriguez, Lene Chapman, Vince Villeneuve, Seth Green, Amy Smart, Brecken Meyer, Kathy Najimy, John Cleese, Cuba Gooding Jr., and Rowan Atkinson.
Wait, what year is this?
2001.
Rat Race?
It is Rat Race.
Yes.
Which I wanted to see if anyone would pick up on the fact that on a previous episode, I read through the entire...
Yeah.
The entire... No, wait.
That's been one before, but...
That was a zero names one, I think.
Crap.
And I think Rowan Atkinson was...
top billed?
Guest as top billed. So no one got that one, but yes, it was Rat Race.
Wow,
Rat Race.
Well, you hid that one pretty well.
I did, and yet there's not a lot to that review.
Should have known, but anyway,
that review was difficult.
Well played.
Yes,
well played.
But it's 4-3, so Adam, you get to choose.
Okay,
and your three categories are zero names, Dia de los Muertos, and Happy Birthday, Famke Janssen. Again.
Sorry, Famke, but I'm going to go with Dia de los Muertos.
Muertos.
You just wanted to say that.
Muertos.
I did want to say that one and play it.
Your three choices are 1994, 1996, or 1999.
99.
Leonard Maltin gave this movie 1.5 stars. Calls it annoying. The only prize winner here is one good-hearted character. And Leonard Maltin compares it to another movie saying, to see how it's done right, there's another movie out right around the same time that does the same thing.
Oops.
Calls it frantic and outrageous. But most of it isn't funny.
Mm. That's too bad.
And there are 11 names, and Day or Dead is in the title.
Okay. Let's try 10 names.
10 names.
9 names.
9 names.
8 names.
8 names.
Name that movie.
Saw that coming.
Here it comes.
Easy.
8 names. Nora Dunn, Mo Gaffney, Mindy Sterling, Amy Adams, Sam McMurray, Brittany Murphy, Allison Janney, and Ellen Barkin.
I had an idea.
Brittany Murphy.
But it went away. Because Dead and Day are not in that title. And let's see. Dead, Day, Day.
Keep in mind that this is a game point.
Yeah.
Can I allow him one clue? Just to see if
yes.
he can figure. Because do you have a guess of what it is? Inclination?
No. Give a clue.
I'm just going to throw out there that it takes place in Minnesota. Some people might get that.
Oh,
some people
boy.
Might not.
Take place in Minnesota. Oh. Well, then I should really know this, shouldn't I? I just realized that my brother-in-law, who is a huge movie buff, if he heard me struggling on so many of these, would
You've had a really good like streak of on.
I did have a really good streak, and I think it's ending here. Because I haven't the foggiest. It's not coming to me. So I'm going to say Dead Day.
Dead Day. What if I said
Dead Day Dead?
On top of it, taking place in Minnesota, they claim to be at Mall of America, but they're actually at Eden Prairie Mall.
What?
That's funny.
Oh my gosh. Is it? Wait, 99?
Yes.
The, no.
What? Go, just
say it.
Say it.
Oh, Drop Dead Gorgeous.
It is Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh my gosh.
That's what. That's the one where they're all. That
There's
takes place
queen.
In Minnesota. Yeah.
No.
I was thinking. I couldn't think of the name of that movie.
Drop Dead Gorgeous.
That is.
Yeah, I didn't know that Amy Adams was in that.
It's right in the
when
middle.
When he said Brittany Murphy, that's
dead. Was
that
right
came
in the
to
middle.
Mind, but.
Kirstie Alley was the next name that you'd have.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Up. Right.
So that's it. You've just won
the
first game.
Oh.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Nice premiere.
Beginner's luck.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Though
Minnesota.
Let's see. Yeah, they actually point out, you know, the water tower right by Eden Prairie Mall that has the neon clock?
Yeah.
You see that in the background when they say, oh, we're here at that there Mall of America, eh?
That's
and,
funny.
And you see in the background, like, they're in Eden Prairie. What the fuck's wrong with them?
That's hilarious.
Once
all
again,
us Minnesotans are saying, hey, they're in Eden Prairie, eh?
we went over their time there, eh? Again.
Oh, okay.
Which that's our curse, because when we do the back and forth.
Yeah.
Best of 5 points, it always turns out to be somebody gets to 5 points rather than the 2 point beat them.
Except I think last time we played to 4 instead of 5.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We calculated it out.
We did.
That's right.
Because the maximum number of points in a 3-person game
is 7.
7, and the maximum number of points in a 2-person game with to five would be...
Well, then I gave you an extra eight. Chance to try to redeem yourself.
Yeah, or 9 points, I should say. But anyway, either way, I failed.
Oh, yeah. Don't but, be so hard on yourself.
No, whatever. It was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. You did well. I enjoyed. That was awesome.
But we should wrap it up because need to end the episode somehow.
We should.
So, Robbie, are you doing anything right now that you want to plug to people? They'll hear this on Friday.
Oh, my.
So, anything that's going on, anything that you're attending that you say, hey, other people should definitely check this out simultaneously, anything that you're working on that also would have kind of a public access to it?
Let me think. Not really. I volunteer at the Science Museum, so if you guys ever want to come out and do some science experiments with me in the cell lab, I'll be there in my apron. That's all I have.
is that day-to-day
awesome.
Job?
Awesome.
That is a Thursday noon to 4 volunteer position
there
that
we go.
I hold. So come on out, and I'll help you do some gram stains, and we'll find out if those are gram-positive or gram-negative bacteria.
Sweet.
So,
wow.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
And then, are you on Twitter?
I am not.
You're not on Twitter.
I'm not.
People just have to find you to follow you.
They'll have to, yes, absolutely.
They'll have to physically follow you around.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have my entourage.
So, Adam.
Say something witty.
Do you have anything?
Well, not currently, aside from Wells Fargo is really cool, and guess what? The whole monthly charge for using your debit card thing fell through. That's not going to happen. So
good news really? For everyone.
So, yeah, good That's news great. For everyone. I don't think any of the big banks are going to do it. So,
sweet.
Because Bank of America was the big threatener.
Yeah, Bank of America was going to do like $5 a month.
Right.
Which is...
outrageous.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, but... So I mean, Wells Fargo was very receptive to what customers were saying and
said nay.
Yeah, people were not happy about it, and Wells Fargo said, "Well, okay, then we won't." So,
but you are on Twitter.
I am on Twitter, and
can be found at
Adam Erdman, AdamErdmann.
Remember the double N.
Yep, second N is crucial.
is there a single N Adam Erdman out there on Twitter?
Quite possibly.
You should friend him.
I should.
That would be exciting.
You know, give him his mail.
Doesn't the second N have a meaning? Doesn't that make you more powerful or something?
It does, actually. Way back, my ancestors, if the second N apparently means that you own your own land.
Look at that.
Instead of, like, tenant farming on someone else's or something.
A man
like
with land.
Cool figure, yeah.
So... pretty cool, right?
Oh, I do have one small plug.
See, there you go.
But this is just from listening to NPR today. Apparently, the game chess is becoming really big in the Middle East, and they want to start competing more. And so everyone out there, you should start sharpening your chess skills because it's coming back. So
chess
that made me very excited.
You know what else is coming back?
What?
Marbles.
Really?
In England... there are kids who are robbing their parents because their gambling debts are so high by playing marbles.
That's
Plymouth, England.
That's
that was a wait, don't tell me thing. That was
oh, wow. I love that. That's yeah. a great one.
That's awesome.
So yeah, marbles are coming back too.
Look at this.
Or at least that's like funny. One city.
Yeah.
Dan, what about you?
It'll spread.
Well, one thing I already mentioned was Doug Benson's going to be here on Saturday at Acme for the Acme 20th anniversary celebration of all the comedians. They're just going to come through and it's going to be crazy. But he's doing a taping of the Doug Loves Movies podcast at 4:20 on Saturday. So I will be there to watch professionals play the Leonard Maltin game, which will be really exciting.
Sweet.
That's so day after this drops. Other than that, I'm on Twitter, Dan L. Whalen. You can find Buffering Podcast on Twitter at Buffer Podcast.
Because Buffering Podcast is too long.
Three characters too many. You can find us online at bufferingpodcast.com and on Twitter at, not on Twitter, on iTunes. If you search for Buffering or for Dan Whalen or for Adam Erdman or for any of our guests' names, so Robbie, your name will be searchable
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As of Friday as well.
Searchable.
Woo.
Friday, probably Saturday. I don't know how iTunes will work for the release. But we'll figure it out.
Sweet.
So, yeah, that's it. See everybody next week.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.